What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we got a special guest for you. She is an amazing comic book creator. We've talked to her before on the podcast, but she has a new project called Norn, which is awesome. We're going to talk about exactly what it is in a second. But welcome back to the podcast, Torin Grunbeck. Torin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very excited to chat about this. So this popped up in my feed whenever you posted about it on Blue Sky a week or two ago as we're taping.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it was a little unexpected because, again, like, we've talked about your comic book writing quite a bit, but this is a script writing software for comic books that you were developing for yourself and you have now opened as an alpha for people to test out.
Well, I figured like if, because this started because I was like, I've been using Scrivener with Anthony Johnston's excellent template, I should say. Like it is as good as it can get. But it's still sort of oddly annoying how lacking of like, and when I was talking to people about this, I realized that there are a bunch of people who find comic book script formatting really terrifying. It is sort of, it's just like a bunch of text. And text is the easiest thing to like to deal with when it comes to it, like any sort of data structure, right? So it sort of began with me making the page planner for myself just in HTML and CSS and a fuck ton of JavaScript. And then I was sort of like, couldn't we just, I don't know, keep going? And that's what I did. So I don't know what it is. I have no plan. But the thing is, this is what I used to do for a living, right? And I find it absolutely delightful to do it for, I don't know, like for nothing, for the community, for, you know. I don't want there to be a business plan at any point. So I'm just going to see if anyone's interested.
Well, it's so fascinating that you put this up, and it's interesting to hear you talk about, like, the script writing being a wall, because I've read a ton of scripts. There is no format. Like, everybody has their own little format, and whenever I talk to a new writer, the first thing is they're like, so how do I write a comic book? So this takes a little bit of that guesswork out of it, I think.
Yeah, and we've been trying to sort of, because I should mention, like, I have some, the moment I was like, maybe we should try to give it out to the people, I have a bunch of developer friends. I should mention, like, I'm primarily, before I started writing, this is what I did for a living, and this is what I've been doing since I was, like, seven. Like, I learned English because my Commodore 64 manual was in English, and I tried to figure out how to fucking work it. And all my friends are thoroughly geeky, and we were trying to sort of figure out a way, because that's sort of the main problem with it right now. If I don't know, like, unless you know what you're doing, you can fuck it up in a sort of, we save it, everything is sort of stored in your browser's memory, which is fine. It's fine unless you, you know, watch some porn and then, like, your wife gets home and you freak out and you clear your cache and then it's gone. You just have to know what you're doing, you know?
A very specific scenario you've laid.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the only time you clear your cache, unless you've been, right, been doing some other nonsense. And, like, if you just clear your search history, you're fine. But I know that people get a little paranoid. So I think, like, right now we're at that sort of odd phase where we have this product. I use it. I've been using it for a couple of months now. I'm writing all my scripts in it. It works just as I want it because I made it. And then after we gave it out to a few people, I realized, like, there's a bunch of things you can do. Like, Ariana, one of the letterers, she mentioned that it would be cool to be able to export the scripts without the panel descriptions, which is the easiest thing in the world to do. So I've just added a feature where you can add lettering notes and color notes and then export the script without the panel descriptions, but with the color notes and the lettering notes or whatever you want. And I can kind of see a bunch of other things that we can do that would help the process for comic book people. It's just that no one's ever done it like that before. So we're just trying to, like, we started with just replicating my workflow, and then I'm trying to listen to what other people need now.
So is it I mean, I've looked through it and I've looked through the website and it looks amazing, but is it malleable? Like, obviously you're basing it on the way you do script format, but let's say I pass it over to, I don't know, Jonathan Hickman or something. I assume he writes in a different format. So can you tweak things and change things so it's more comfortable?
You can tweak things to a certain extent. And we have like two different types of scripts. I actually gave it to Hickman, who said some very nice things about it. I think as long as you are within the, I've been thinking about like web comics, because we are now like down to pages and panels. But I suppose maybe we need some sort of another thing for page. Maybe we need some other kinds of panels. If you, I know when you do web comics, you often have like a big, like blank space with just some text in. Maybe we need a panel for that. I don't know, but that's sort of the fun of it, because that's not as like, if you want it, we can make it. So that's where. So if this sounds interesting, register and I'll send you an access code to Dial Fun. You can fuck around with it as long as you take some backups along the way. And yeah, your porn in, you know, the incognito mode.
Yeah, go incognito. That's the takeaway here. Well, I feel like, you know, like Alex was saying, the barrier to entry, I feel like for other writers in other industries, I feel like say writing for TV or film, final draft is something that everyone like tolerates, doesn't love, but it does have that uniformity that everyone sort of craves. So you can sign in and be like, oh, I can do this.
And I feel like it looks very real. Like the moment you sit down in the final draft, you're sort of like, oh yeah, I'm making the thing. It feels like something.
And I feel like that's what you're giving. You're giving sort of just enough format to let people sit down and be comfortable. Because I know a lot of writers are like, they can't relax and be creative and write what they want to write if there's this itch like, I'm fucking this up. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah. And then it's a bailout situation.
I think what we did was sort of try, and this wasn't my idea actually, because I was sort of, there is a place where you can sort of just plan out your pages and you put in what we call sort of story beats. Usually for me, like when I plan out a story, you will have like the actual things that are going to happen. You know, Selena is going over there to find Black Mask and then something. But the important thing for me is usually like one little sentence or one little hook that I have in my mind where I'm like, yeah, that's where I need to put that thing in. So my sort of page planning usually looks like there's a vague sort of storyline there, but you have a bunch of little quotes that just sort of remind myself of like where, what made me excited about doing it this way in the first place. And if you put that into the pages thing, you will see it on top of your script page just as a little reminder of what you're supposed to be doing, and it sort of, it makes it very easy to write.
Just gonna say, it feels like from seeing that function, I mean, it's not one-to-one, but it feels virtually like people putting note cards up on their wall and kind of looking at the scenes and moving them around, but doing it digitally.
Yeah, but it's like, because I do that too, and I have like you know, when you're a writer, you're like, oh, I need a fountain pen to be able to do anything. Yeah, exactly. like the amount of wank that I have just to be able to do my job. But from time to time, you just have to sit down and do the thing, right? And I realize like I spend like 10 hours a day or something staring at the script page, and I'm just trying to figure out how to make that easier. And I had for a while, I had one of those little productivity app, like awful things that would be like, you haven't moved for 11 hours. Maybe it's time to, you know, those.
Are you dead? Says
the app. More still typing, but is it good though? Are you usually people start sucking about now. I don't know.
Yeah.
So much, you know, I stopped using it. But I realized at some point, like, I spent so much time in Scrivener, and because you can't, and it's so stupid, but because you can't see how many panels, you just have a little, it's going to be numbered when you compile it at some point. So at some point in the future, you will know how many panels you have, or you have to count them. Or like, the most stupid thing in the world, which I do all the time, is I send off a script and it's like 19 pages or 23 pages, like, because I just counted wrong in the sidebar of Scrivener, which is a stupid fucking problem to have, right? So I just, this fixes it. So my plan is, if people want it, because right now I'm trying to stay away from, I don't want to have a cloud. I don't want to own any, you know. And I'm trying to figure out like how much work it would be to, because you can do like a native wrapper, so it would work on Mac and PCs, and you can save it on your own device, which is the most, like, that's the thing that people feel, that, you know, if people want it, we'll make that thing. It's just, yeah. I'll just need to, I'll probably need to hire some people to make sure that I haven't fucked anything up, just because I am by trade a web developer. That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I could see this is the sort of thing that, you know, you've been writing comics consistently. This could take over everything. This could be...
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, but I do think in a good way it can. I worked in late night TV, and some writers from Colbert created a program called Scripto specifically for late night shows because of the very esoteric way that things are pushed into different people's and everyone can collaborate much more effectively than on other scripting thing. Yeah. And this reminds me of that because it's from someone who knows what is needed, can make a program that is the most functional for a very specific group of writers. And then it just goes.
And I realized, like, I was talking to some developers about this, just trying to figure out, like, what we could do. And they were like, oh, we can make, like, for game writing. That would be so easy to you know, tweak it for game writing. I don't know anything about game writing. But if someone else wants to, like, just tell me how we need to. I don't know. But I will say that in 2026, it's fucking delightful to do something not for money and just for the fun of it. I think we're sort of undervaluing the, it's not even creativity, because this is like a bunch of trying to figure out, like, what happens if I press tab there? Like, what is the natural function? Like, what do we want to happen? Like, that's the main part of the development. But just making something for not profit, what a fucking delight.
Well, what it struck me as, and maybe this isn't exactly correct, but it struck me as what AI should be and is not. Like, they're forcing AI into everything, and they're like, oh, this will take care of it for you. Yeah. Instead of going with exactly what you're saying, your natural workflow and helping augment that in some way so it flows better, which none of those programs do. We were just talking about, like, the aggressive note takers and absolutely everything, where it pops in, you're like, shut up, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I realized that both Zoom and Notion wanted to take notes from our little podcast here. Mm-hmm. What I really enjoy is when, like, on YouTube, when you get a little... there's AI, this summary of whatever you were talking about. Whenever I do a podcast, it's also, there's always some meandering anecdotes from Torin, which is just, thank you. And then they write my name wrong. So I love that. But I do find it fascinating that we have this technology that I was rooting for it. Like, before the pandemic, I was sort of seeing the very first sort of models being made, and it was interesting. I just find it so fascinating how we're sort of consistently fixing problems that weren't there, and then we're not fixing the other problems. And it's just, I don't know. It seems it's exhausting in a way that I can't. And one of the things that truly annoys me is that, like, we as people, we're supposed to feel awe. Like, that's one of the things we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. We're supposed to feel awe, like, a couple of times a day. So when, you know, your cat does something amazing and you have a little, And now we, like, every time you see something awesome, you question it, right? Like, that's the first, like, suspicion is your first go-to. And it's just, it's so sad.
Truly.
Well, like we're talking about, you can feel the human behind Norn. It does, part of the reason I responded to it, really, is, like, I used to be a total tech fiend. I used to write for tech blogs and everything. So, like, I was all in on that stuff. And I have not felt joy from any tech in several years now. But then seeing this pop up, I was like, this is cool. Oh, right. I remember. We used to think these things were cool.
See, that's so sad. Like, that's what I used to, like, my entire childhood, or, like, my youth, was going to, we had, like, computer parties in Norway. So you would drag along a computer and you would sit for a weekend, or the best one, is still during Easter, when you go to, there's like an upside down Viking ship that has 5,000 people for 5 days, and you sit there and then you, you know, do whatever. You make demos and you code and you make graphics. And it was such a massive and, I don't know, the most important part of my life. And then at some point it sort of turned a little shitty. I don't know. it's very sad. So like this has been fun, and it's been and as ever, like when I have a problem, I call up the best people in the world, and they will happily help for free, because that's what we used to do, you know. Right. And I don't know. I should make shit. Yeah. So well, fun. And
off of that, like I feel like you're talking about like no money in it, but there's such a piece to completing something like this is like, this makes me, my job better for me. That's worth more than money, especially as all of our jobs now get so much more about what Alex is saying about like going around fixing something a computer did, rewriting an auto-corrected email where you're like, oh my God, this is exhausting. And when you can just make something that's complete is so satisfying.
It is fantastic. And I will say that is, and that's the interesting thing. I haven't thought about how much of a, like, that's the worst thing I know when Gmail is like, hey, I assume you're going to say this. I'm like, have you not been indexing my emails for 20 years? I would never say this. I'm going to make a bad joke that I'll regret later. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, they haven't cracked that in Gemini quite yet, is my particular sense of bad comedy.
I do want to ask you about some of your creative work, and then we'll loop back to Norm for a second, just because you have a couple of great comics that are coming out. So you're in the middle of a big run on Catwoman. You are getting towards the latter end of the Black Mask arc. Some big stuff went down in the last issue that I won't spoil if people haven't read it. But Catwoman 88 is coming out June 17th, and it's leading up to the last one I saw solicited was Catwoman 90 is the grand finale of the arc. Is that your grand finale, or are you continuing? No. Okay.
I have a few more issues. It is a grand finale, and sort of we are there are some stories that we're trying to touch on that I feel has gone sort of unnoticed for a while. So we're looping back to Maggie, and we are we're doing a bunch of housekeeping, I suppose, in that issue. It is fucking brutal, though, and I think we're getting away with it. Like, I'm sort of still, like, I was Slam Bradley, and he's in, I think he is in 87, so you know he's coming up, or he plays a part, and he's got a sort of, you know, 60s sort of feel about him. So I was trying to figure out how he could curse. And I was like, you SOB. And they're like, no, you can't say SOB. And I'm like, what? Really?
Really?
What can you say? Like, I don't know. You can't go around and be like, shoot. Like, that doesn't... Anyway, these are my problems. He's getting slammed to curse appropriately. I don't know.
One of the big things that you've been dealing with, and this cropped up a lot of the last issue, is just identity, faces, specifically people putting on faces, taking off faces. Certainly that comes from Black Mask, and that's part and parcel with the superhero identity thing anyway. But why is that important for Catwoman in particular?
Well, I think one of the things that's been a sort of through line in my run so far has been Catwoman... Like, until now, she's had the ability to just disappear if she wanted to, in as much as she could just... She knows how to set up a different identity and play the part of someone else if she needed to. But we are getting to a point in our surveillance state where that's getting increasingly harder to do. And I find it fascinating that we're not questioning it anymore. And if we're going really nerdy about it, like, I find it fascinating that we've been so careful about so many things for so long, and we're like, yeah, but my little vacuum, it's got a camera and it's connected to internet, and that's fine. We're not going to question that. That's probably not hackable at all. Like, we have 50 years of like movies where people are putting in little bugs in the telephones and everything. And now we're just like, yeah, but why don't everyone walk around with their own little bugs. Microphone? Yeah. We need one on the fridge, in fact. Let's do that immediately. I find it astonishing. And I think it's interesting in sort of a Catwoman setting where she's breaking into places and she needs to be aware of all of these things to be able to do her job. And the idea of the face and like what remains you at the end of the day, I find it fascinating. Yeah. It's been interesting to delve into as a sort of a specific, because I'm trying to keep Catwoman as realistic as possible within the sort of the comicsy world that we're living in, and it is like we are living in terrifying times.
Yeah. Maybe slightly more terrifying is a book that you're going to be doing for Marvel, which is What If Thor, which is part of the 50th anniversary of What If, 60th? I don't remember.
50th?
Let's say 50th.
That sounds good.
Yes. Yeah, so this is, I believe, What If Thor Got the Venom Symbiote. I'm just curious, like, overall about this project. Did you pitch that? Did they give you a menu of stuff to choose from?
They went, hey, you're named after Thor and you've written a bunch of Venom. You want to do this? And
this feels perfect. Like,
it was, you know, I was having, I think you can tell on the page. I don't know when this is going to be coming up. Maybe you know. I think it's like in the summer. At some point.
It's coming out, both of the Catwoman next issue and What If Four are both coming out June 17th. So big day
for
you.
I should prepare for that. I don't know. This was, the editor pitched me this, like, can you do it? And immediately I asked him if he can get Sergio to do the art, because Sergio loves Thor more than anyone has ever loved Thor. We did a few issues of Thor together a few years ago. And ever since, like, every 6 months or so, I get a "I love Thor" email from Sergio, where it's like, could we do more Thor? I'm like, I'm up for it. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think you're emailing Thor directly, Sergio?
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. And I'll send it off tomorrow and be like, can we? But Sergio is also so good. So they want him on everything else, but he wants to do Thor.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, we should get Sergio to do it. And I know that he loves to do all the Asgardians. And we had 25 pages and we could basically do whatever we wanted. So we did. Like, it's a fun time, because it branches out from Secret War. So there's no, like, if we're going to be technical about it, there's no Venom lore before that. Like, they've never met each other. It's like, this is completely new, right? And if you think about, like, Venom has so many things that comes from Spider-Man. You can, like, they are all the symbiotes, really. You can tell that was a Spider-Man sort of, that was the first host, and it grew from there. So I was sort of thinking, like, what happens if there was no Spider-Man? It was just Thor, and it's a god, and you have this like newborn little symbiote, and I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. But does he get a little white hammer on his chest instead of a spider?
Fuck, where were you 6 months ago?
I know, I'm sorry. Good. I was sending all my emails to thor@mjolnir.com.
You have my email, fuck's sake. No, that was really good. That was one of the things that we were, I'm not going to say we were struggling with it, because Sergio is like, he wanted to do classic Thor and we're like, yeah, but it needs to be a little venomy. And it's like, yeah, but just make it black. I don't know.
Thor, but I hate Venom. I'm so torn here.
Tiniest bit of that. It's like all of the other Asgardians are like super classic, like original 60s, 70s Asgardians. And then you have Thor, which is sort of begrudgingly being like, yeah, I suppose it's a little venomy. But it is awesome, though. And like we have a bunch of like the art is spectacular, and I hope the story is interesting. I had a bunch of fun. I hope people like it's just such a good time. I hope people enjoy it as much as we did making it.
Well, people can check out that and Catwoman 88, both on June 17th, news to you. But to loop it back to the main thing we were talking about, nornstory.com is the place people can sign up for the alpha. I know you got like hit with a ton of requests on the day you posted it up. Are you still keeping it open for a while? Are you going to close the alpha at a certain point?
I mean, there's no really, like I was, the thing is like what I did, what we did, I don't want to take all the credit there because I have people helping me, but we packed it up, we put it on Cloudflare. It's just a little, you can use, like we could technically just open it. We just wanted to make sure that before we do that, we make sure that there's no some glaring awful thing that we haven't thought about. So we have a bunch of people using it now, and the feedback is very good. There are some features that I want to add. I'm trying to work on the... Because one thing is like when you plan out an issue, 20 pages, but I want to be able to plan out the full arc of something. And then you get into like... It's not... Like in a file structure, you would go like, oh, there's a folder for Catwoman issue 84. But then you want like the arc to be 84 to 87 or whatever the fuck. So we need to be able to connect those, but still keep it in the Catwoman. This is my life. This is very fun. I will say, I'm still writing just like this is a passion project that I'm doing, you know, in my free time. But it is delightful. Like when these are your problems suddenly, instead of whatever nonsense, especially your government is up to at any given point in time, whatever, you know,
fair,
horror is coming out of the, it's just every day there's something. And then it's very nice to be like, yeah, but what should the tab do right now? What should happen? Like how different is the keyboard on Mac versus PC? These, we need to, figure out.
It feels that's like one reason. That's one reason why I signed up for Norn and am not going to check a news website while I'm doing that.
Yeah, just write some comics instead.
There you go.
And I do hope that, like, I was thinking, like, if we get to a point where we have to charge anything, the goal would be to sort of put it back into something.
Oh, that's awesome.
There is something very tempting about like making it more of a community and seeing what people are making and making sure like it costs nothing. And my favorite thing to do in the world is talk about comics with comics people. And I sometimes people, because if you sign up right now, I'll be the one sending an email. And sometimes I've gotten a couple of like, what? I didn't mean to bother you. I'm like,
No, but it is me. I'm so sorry.
You're getting, I don't know. I'll try to. We also realize like at some point, if we get a bunch of, the moment you start charging for anything, you'll have to have support and stuff too, right? I don't know. We'll see. It feels like, I'm going to try to keep it free as long as it's possible. And then if we ever need a cloud, I'm going to cry.
Well, I love the idea that you're sifting through Norn requests and I Love Thor emails from different artists we've worked with. So it's very busy.
Sincerely, this is what's going on. Like that's it's beautiful. But it's just like, I will say the comics... community. Like I've talked about this before, but I had at some point to sort of make a choice between like fine art and comics, because you have to sort of delve into whatever you're doing wholeheartedly. And I love comics, but I especially love the people, and the people were sort of the thing that made me like I had an exhibition in New York. And I flew over for the exhibition, but I sort of made sure it was at the same time as New York Comic Con. And I was there at my exhibition with my New York art people. I don't know, people. There's something. And then New York Comic Con. No, but it's just like, they're so... There was I might have told this story before too, but like there was a woman there I was introduced to, and she was completely covered in like white paint, and she had a black line under each eye. And they introduced her as Mathilde, but she was in her silent period. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And she doesn't speak. And I was just standing there with this woman. And I thought, like, I don't know, is this a Family Guy episode? Like, what's going on? Like, it's so silly. Anyway, I went to New York Comic Con the next day, and I had that, like, oh, these are my people. I love you guys.
No one's in a silent period at New York Comic Con. No. I'll tell you that.
Could be more of a silent period. I don't know. Are you going?
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be there.
Every year. Torin, thank you so much for coming on. A pleasure chatting, as always. For everybody out there, nornstory.com. That's what you want to check out to sign up for the Alpha. It is so cool. Congratulations on this project.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me come on and talk about it.
Yeah. You bet. It's really exciting.
Anytime.